And you can afford yourself that financial peace of mind rather than the, you know, pile of us sweeping everything under the rug. That's draining you every time you sweep something under the rug. So instead of continuing to do that, lift up the rug, bring all that stuff out and address it. And even that, like, it's such a weight lifted off your chest because you are now approaching it head on and really creating a strategy where you know what is going on. And that peace of mind is like so invaluable.
Welcome to the Society Gal podcast, where trailblazing female entrepreneurs and creatives come together to spark change and build their dreams. This is where your passion meets purpose, and together, we're crafting a future where everyone has the tools to succeed.
All right, welcome to the Society Gal podcast. We are so excited to have Kosi here today with us to talk all about financial literacy and really helping us get confident in our finances. So I'm super, super excited of what she has to share today. And we're just going to jump right in. What got you here to this place where you're helping people and especially women with financial literacy and being an entrepreneur? Let's dig into that.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to be here. I love Society Gal. I've been a member for, I think, over a year now. And so I'm so excited that the podcast is up and running and we get to kind of continue the networking and the inspiration and the learning from everybody who's a part of it. So yeah, really excited to be here. And especially talking about finances and financial literacy, a little bit of my background. So I got my master's degree in 2019. I actually got my master's in conservation and ecology, but took a little bit of a 180 and hopped into my first career, which was orthopedic medical device sales, and was doing that for a couple of years. And then similar to everybody else's experience, COVID happened, which really kind of threw things into a mix with surgery. We were dealing with elective surgeries at the time. Elective surgeries stopped, but then once they were allowed to start back up again, that meant that we were back at work working 12, 14, 16 hour days, just like grinding and grinding and overworked and really getting burnt out. And I caught myself really like losing myself. And I felt like my soul was just leaving my body every day that I went to work. Unfortunately, I don't think I'm alone in that either. At the same time, I was in the midst of opening a business with my now husband. We had recently gotten engaged. We were in talks of planning the wedding, ultimately starting a family. What would that look like with my current work situation? And I had a little bit of an epiphany that it was time for a change. And if not now, like when? So I started to kind of have this year of self-discovery, or I guess a couple months of self-discovery about like, okay, we're making a change. We don't know what it's going to be, but what are some of the skills that I have, both tangible and intangible from this job and past experiences, that I can really bring into my next chapter? And I knew that I loved and still do love educating and empowering people. And I was pretty good at creating relationships, really just on a human level. I wanted to find a job that would benefit my personal and professional life. And the one thing that I found that was kind of a common thread is money. And a family friend had suggested, like, why don't you look at wealth management? It's great for young females. I thought it was interesting, but with my background, I didn't feel qualified because I was in the medical world. I was in the like conservation and ecology world. I wasn't like traditionally trained in finances. I had actually gotten a minor in business, but it wasn't my focus. But I was curious enough about the field that I just started talking to other advisors in my town and asking them questions like, what does the day-to-day actually look like? What do you love? What do you not love? Like, tell me the good, the bad, the ugly. And kind of through a series of introductions, I was introduced to my now boss, Jennifer Rogers Markwell, who offered me a job with Platinum Wealth Management, and that's where I am now, and I could not be happier.
I love that. I love your story. We talked about yesterday, but I love your story and how something that can be so discouraging, which is, you know, working so hard for this master's degree in this one field and then having to pivot. I mean, you're so proactive, and like, I love how you went to go interview people to see if that's the right thing for you to do. And you talked about relationships and how that's a really great skill you have. And I think that led you through that is having that relationship skill of like, okay, I'm going to go talk to people. I'm going to start relationships and see what's right for me. But that's what I love about your story is how proactive you were in the pivot, right? When it could be so discouraging. And we feel like we have to do one career and one path when we put so many years into one thing. So yeah, I love that about your story. Because you're so good at that, at pivoting, how has having, it's okay to pivot, like it's okay to change, it's okay to shift things in the middle of my life mindset benefited your career in life? Like, how has that benefited you?
Yeah, I love that we talked about this yesterday because I think that it's pivotal. And I really followed the phrase, be firm on the goal, but flexible on the path it takes to get there. My vision for myself was always being an entrepreneur, having work-life balance, getting to work towards my own future rather than towards someone else's future, and really having that freedom and having my life be surrounded by get-tos instead of have-tos. So with that in mind, when I realized my current job was not really allowing me to do any of that and was not in alignment with that vision I created for myself, that's kind of when I gave myself permission to pivot and say, like you said, yeah, I've invested this time in a master's degree towards one topic, in a career towards another topic. You can still choose another path, and it is along the same path, interestingly. So in my mind, like changing careers from medical to finance, while some people are like, wow, that's really apples to oranges. For me, it didn't really mean starting at square one, but instead just kind of compounding on what I had already learned, already achieved. Like I said, even though these careers seem drastically different, and they are, right? Like teaching someone how to reconstruct an ACL is not going to help me like manage somebody's portfolio necessarily. I think that if you have this future that's compelling enough for yourself, like you're going to find a way to make it happen. And it's going to include some pivots. It's going to include some detours. And those are totally fine. Like you just have to be committed to the mindset that they're all teaching you different things that are getting you closer to that goal. And I don't want to say end goal because it's not the end. But the future you, right?
Yes. I love that perspective because I have a very similar perspective. That's why I wanted to add this into the podcast from your story, even though we're going to go into finances. But I think for everyone, especially a lot of entrepreneurs listening to this who are making a pivot right now. And, you know, when you're talking about your master's and things like that, it's like, you know what? Well, I have something now, you know, I have these set of skills that I have now. What can I do with it? How can I use whatever I learned in the past years to the next part of my life? And it's not like you need the specific topic and expertise, master's right, or PhD to get to that point because you didn't have to. But you're right. Like everything we do, we're learning something. Like no matter what field it's in, it's going to help us apply it to the next part of our life. So with that being said, with that inspirational story and really great mindset of pivots and being okay to also fail of how people see it or how some people see it, they're really just learning lessons, right? And that perspective and moving forward. So let's talk about finances. Let's get into finances because a lot of people hear this word, especially us women who are on this podcast, who are hearing this word and you're like, oh, cringe. Oh, I really don't want to listen to this, but I know I should be listening to this. Let's first start off with you getting into the financial wealth management, which is very interesting, right? So like, were you always good at your finances before getting into this field? I want to kind of get to that first.
Yeah, I think this is kind of maybe the one little part where people are going to be like, barf, this girl, like pause. But I actually was raised in a family where financial literacy and conversations about money were ever present. My grandpa was the president of a bank. My grandma was an entrepreneur, still is, by the way.
Grandma entrepreneur.
Right. She was on the pickleball fad before anybody else was.
Oh, shoot.
And now she's sitting back like, I told you. Both my parents are entrepreneurs. Like, I was just very much surrounded by these business minds. And so talking about business, talking about money, they go hand in hand. Actually, I started my first business and opened my first savings account at 10 because I thought, this is what our family does, right? We open businesses. For Christmas, I would get stock certificates, CDs. I was gifted a Roth when I graduated from high school. So all my friends were getting gifts like to go on a trip or a car, my parents were like, we opened up a Roth for you. I was like, that's not anything I can brag to my friends about. Now it is.
Now you can. Yeah.
It was not. But I think to my benefit, because there was always a conversation around it, I got to see that within these conversations, ideas were always shared. Everyone got to learn from each other. And as a whole, we were all increasing our financial literacy. And I thought, this is how everybody's family operates. We just kind of talk about money and business and what's working and what's not. It wasn't until I was a hostess and I met my best friend and we were both hostesses at a restaurant together. And we were talking about whatever next paycheck we were going to get and what we were going to do with it. And within that conversation, I probably said something along the lines of like, well, I'm going to put part of it towards my savings. And she just looked at me like I was speaking a foreign language and I didn't get it because I thought everybody knew. And she said, what do you mean savings? Like, is that a thing? And I said, wait, is that a real question? Like, don't you have a savings account? And she said, no, I was never taught. And at that moment, I realized that my upbringing was not normal, maybe for some people, but it wasn't the norm. And that as she shared more about her upbringing, a lot of the time, the money conversation is thought of as like taboo or non-existent. Sometimes I tell people like, are you raised in a house where talking about money is like saying Voldemort's name out loud? But I mean, we all are raised in some way thinking about money. And we don't have any control over it because we're just a little kid like in this environment that we didn't necessarily choose.
I love that you shared that because, I mean, yeah, when we see your story, you're like, hey, why does she love wealth management? But I think your story of were you always good at finances or did you have the education shows everyone the benefit of having wealth management. And we're going to talk about, educate you guys on a little bit more on finances and things like that. But I wanted to start with that to move forward of how important it is for us as entrepreneurs to do that, especially as women and mother. A lot of us are mothers or women that maybe will grow families or have kids and have this knowledge that we can pass on to our family to then raise a family that is going to make financial responsible decisions and have a more fruitful life because they do so. And so I love how your family really just openly talked about it and educated you on it. And it was just part of your life. And with us having that knowledge, we can do that too with our families. So I love that. So let's talk about the power of a financial plan and having this financial knowledge, especially as women entrepreneurs, you know, how important it is because a lot of us are like, oh my gosh, this is so scary. Let's let my husband do it. Let's let a man do it because they usually, that's a typical role. But now that we have our own businesses, we're realizing that we have to
it's on us.
Like we have to start planning for the future. So why is it so important to have this financial plan?
Yeah, I think that's a great question because talking about finances and dealing with our finances is like that perpetual line item on our to-do list. And then there comes a time when you do have to think about it, right?
You're forced to.
Totally. Like we can't sweep it under the rug. The rug's only so big. But I think, you know, when we talk about a financial plan, it really means something different to everybody. But what I want to share is like a financial plan can really just be the strategy behind what your money's doing. Like, what is your money doing? Where is it being allocated? How are you spending it? How are you saving it? You work so hard, especially as entrepreneurs, for every single dollar that you make. And you want your money working in turn for you so that you can meet those short-term goals. Maybe you want to hire an assistant. You know, maybe you want to pay for that dream website that you want. You want it working toward those long-term goals as well. Maybe you are set on buying a house, or you want to splurge a little and ultimately buy a boat for your family. And so you want your money working for you today, but you also want to think about your money working for future you, right? As much as we want to be in the present moment today and celebrate those wins, celebrate those clients that we get, you need to make sure that a little piece is going towards the future you, because the future you is going to happen at some point. I think it's especially important as entrepreneurs because it's easy to get consumed in that day-to-day. You have your task list. You have those things that are going to move the needle for your business, which is great because you have control over that, right? However, you don't have someone allocating money for you in the form of a 401k or a pension working for you behind the scenes. There's nobody really holding you accountable to look out for future you. So when you're looking at all the success that you have as an entrepreneur, you want to make sure to earmark part of that for retirement. And think about too, like, I know when we opened up our business, the last thing we wanted to think about was what was going to happen when it was over, right? Because you work so hard just to get the darn thing launched. When do you want to retire? Or partially retire? What do you want that life to look like in retirement? What's the exit strategy financially for your business? These are all things that, yeah, they're not fun to think about, but if you can create a strategy in place today, then you're not caught off guard when future you is knocking at your doorstep and is like, hey, what'd you do for me?
Or have regrets of not sitting.
100%.
Yeah. And I think especially in today's world with access to all these influencers and online, everything that there's just candy in front of us everywhere, what we can buy and purchase. And I think it's normal for a lot of people to be in debt because of how much, you know, school is and how many people that are in debt. A lot of people just go, you know, autopilot mode with their finances. And we just pay as we go and what comes in goes back out. But I like how you just really thinking about the future, and we're going to talk about it in a way that's going to be fun. Like we are going to, there is a way to make this fun because it doesn't sound fun now, but it's because we don't know. Like when we don't know, it's not fun. So we were talking about yesterday. I was like, we can have a financial swag because like you're going to feel confident about it. We're going to dig deep into it. Yeah. Just like anything with the gym, you know, the gym looks horrible. It feels horrible until you start understanding how to do it. And then you're just confident. You go in there and you're like, I know what I'm doing. And, you know, you feel great and everything feels good. So that's the same thing with this, you know, financial knowledge, financial literacy, as you call it. And then we're going to dig deep on how right now you can create this financial healthy lifestyle. And it's like you said, it's like the little steps. So we're going to break down the little steps. It feels really overwhelming because there's so many steps you could think about from all the gurus you see in here. So Kosi's going to break it down into like some nice, easy, actionable steps for you to get started today. What are the steps to do that?
Hey, this is Dana from Society Gal, and I wanted to take a quick break to tell you about the Society Gal Academy, the exclusive membership that helps entrepreneurs like you launch, grow, and scale your business. Join weekly expert-led workshops, access to on-demand courses, and connect with a supportive network of go-getters just like you. Are you ready to elevate your business? Visit Society Gal Academy today.
It can seem so overwhelming, but really they say like, how do you eat an elephant one bite at a time? That's how you should tackle your finances. Start by looking at the numbers. And I will tell you that numbers are no judgment. Numbers have no emotion. They're not looking at you a certain way. They're not like judging you for decisions you've made. It's just data. So looking at the numbers are, so how much are you bringing in a month? How much are you spending? What categories are you spending the most in? Start to look at these numbers and kind of start to build a picture to see, you know, what are some of those spending habits? What are some of the thoughts that you have around these different categories you're spending in? I always start people out with make a budget. I mean, it doesn't sound like the super sexy answer that everybody wants to hear, but if you can wrap your head around like how much you're spending on your home, how much are you spending on your car? How much are you spending on food, both eating out and going to the grocery? I know that that's my pitfall and I keep those two separate categories for a purpose, but just getting these numbers out and then setting goals for these individual categories so that you, like I said, you know how much money you can spend when you go to Costco, for example, or when you're ready to buy a home, or if you want to see if you really can afford this home that's a little bit more money, but will it fit into your budget? It helps you really start to create that healthy financial lifestyle. And it also can inform you back to the retirement conversation, like how much you have at the end of the month that you could set aside for retirement, or the goal of what you could set aside for retirement, because maybe, you know, things aren't hunky-dory perfect what you want them to be right now, but you're just information gathering, and then you can adjust as your behaviors start to change. And I love that you talk about, you know, this compared to going to the gym, because that is the perfect analogy. Like when you have the goal to go to the gym, you're not starting to go looking like you want to look, right? Like maybe you have some insecurities, but making it fun, make your finances fun. They can be fun, I promise you. Yeah. Like you're going to the gym, like grab the fun water bottle, put together a fun playlist. I do the same thing when I do my budget. I get on the comfy outfit, put on a show, create that environment where I'm like, okay, this doesn't feel like work. It doesn't feel like a drag. If you have a spouse, bring your spouse in on it. If you want to do it with friends, bring your friends in on it. And I think that as you start to take these steps, just like going to the gym, you start to see these little increments of progress. And you're like, ooh, is that an ab? Like, ooh, yeah. I can run a mile now. Those are the steps that then will keep you going back. Same thing with your finances. Next thing you know, you're like, oh, I am saving this much money towards retirement, or like, wow, this is compounding on what I already have. And that just keeps that motivation going. And it makes you like look forward to continue to do these rituals, right?
I like how you said like bringing people, involving people in there and into the process, because it's just like the gym, like it's so much less scary when you're going in with a friend to the gym. Let's work on our finances together. Let's do this together. Let's be confident in our finances. Let's do this together with your spouse. Let's do this together. Because then they can hold you accountable. Then that fear of the newness can kind of get out of the way, and you can just hold each other accountable. But also, like you were saying, like consistency, like same thing with anything, like consistently learning and like bringing that in. And that's when we get more confident. The more we know, the more machines we know, the more we know about technique of finances, the more we're going to be like, oh, I got this. This is great. I am so financially responsible. Yeah. It doesn't take as much work once you know how to do it. Like it's not, I think just like the gym, this is just what we do. This is what I do. This is just, I love that.
Yeah. And I think, you know, somebody told me one time, you're in business for yourself, but not by yourself. As entrepreneurs, this world can seem isolating if you let it. It can seem lonely if you let it. However, it can be the best community that you ever find if you let it as well. Society Gal, for example, I've met so many female entrepreneurs who I can connect with, you can bounce ideas off of and ask, like, what does your budget look like? How are you allocating your finances? And this goes both for your personal life and for your business. Like, they are not exclusive. These are the same steps that you can take for both. And like, okay, step one, budget for you and for your business. They are separate. However, it's a part of the same theme, right? And then after you create your budget, like, let's start tackling debt. What does that look like? Build up your emergency fund. How much should your emergency fund be? What makes sense for you as an individual? And then I love what you said, like, increase your financial literacy. So maybe you've maxed out on your workouts at the gym and you're ready for some new ones just to like spice things up or keep your interest level going. I think that can be so empowering too, and really help you gain that confidence. And you also touched on it earlier, but you know, there's information everywhere. There's different sources everywhere. I was talking to an attorney last night and we were saying there's so much information on TikTok, Instagram, YouTube. My disclaimer or my warning will be, just make sure that you know who is giving you this information that you are about to act on, because you don't know their intent. You don't know their background. I know in our world of financial advisors, There's a website called Broker Check. And if you ever have a question about the person who you're getting advice from, you can go on that website, type in their name, and it will show you all of the licenses they have, where they're licensed. And you can see, you know, if their name pops up, great, here's what they're licensed to tell me. If their name doesn't pop up, don't listen to what they have to say, because they are not licensed to give you information. And they're also not held liable for you, you know, taking action on that information.
Yeah, there's so many voices out there for sure. And also like making it work for you, keeping it so simple, like the budget, just looking at your numbers. I think that's, even just looking at the numbers is so hard for people. I know it's hard for me. And yeah, just looking at the numbers and like looking at it every month and just sitting down. And because it's almost like, you know, going to therapy, like you have to face yourself. You have to face your weaknesses. Yeah. And facing our weaknesses, our body naturally does not want to do that. Like our nervous system's like, no, thank you. We can do whatever else but this, because we don't want to be uncomfortable. And this is uncomfortable. But when we do face it, I mean, I'm sure with the clients that you've worked with, having a financial literacy and really understanding that, you can make a lot more money. You can have a lot more money. You can be a lot more wealthy because you know how to manage it and invest it. Or, you know, and I know you do a lot of other things with helping people with their money, but saving and all those things instead of just spending on things that don't matter or aren't going to last or aren't worth it in the long run. And so I think it helps us be a lot more intentional with our life and everything we're doing.
And you can afford yourself that financial peace of mind rather than the, you know, pile of us sweeping everything under the rug. That's draining you every time you sweep something under the rug. So instead of continuing to do that, lift up the rug, bring all that stuff out and address it. And even that, like, it's such a weight lifted off your chest because you are now approaching it head on and really creating a strategy where you know what is going on. And that peace of mind is like so invaluable.
Yeah, because it can really contribute to our business and our life.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's one of the biggest stressors for anybody is money, especially when you were talking about before for the prep call. So you were talking about people's own mindset around money and our perspectives around money and how that plays a huge part in our decisions in our business, like everything, like how we create offers, what our pricing is, all these different decisions we make in our business that could make it fail, make it not very profitable just because we're holding ourselves back and not understanding the strategy behind our finances or our wealth and be confident in seeing those numbers and planning for it and making better confident decisions because we're confident in our finances. So
totally,
this thing can make a huge difference. I mean, even just the stress of not knowing and like you said, putting it under the rug plays into our personal life, our family, our habits. So I love the process you went through to help simply face it, make it fun, get knowledgeable about it. That was just a really great breakdown.
Yeah. And then you can grow from there. And then like we can get into, you know, do you want to get into investing? What does your retirement vehicle look like? And really, like, what does it look like for you? Because even if you are watching TikToks or whatever, they're not speaking to you in your individual situation. And you have a business and you have, you know, a certain risk tolerance and you have your own ideas. Like, they are just speaking to the masses, which is diluting the information.
Yeah. That's why you need someone like Cozy. Someone to guide you through it. Okay. Before we get into our last question, I don't know if you mentioned this in the beginning, but what do you do with your husband? Like what is it? Because it's really fun. And I was like, that's so cool.
So we live here in Reno, Nevada, and we opened up a members only golf simulator. And so it's basically like, depending on your golf level experience, it's basically a big video game that allows you to play golf as if you were out on the golf course. So the setup is grass, not real grass, it's turf. So you stand on the turf, you put your golf ball, you know, where the little laser tells you, you swing with your regular clubs at your regular speed and strength into this big screen that has a golf course projected on it. And you get to pick the golf course. So like, everybody loves to play Pebble Beach because a lot of us will never get there. However, they can play it at our golf simulator, and you can play around a golf indoors when it's like 2 degrees outside and snowing, and you can play and eat pizza and drink beer and watch football. I call it like a members only man cave where girls can come too.
I wanted you like bring to talk about that because I thought that was so fun that when we talked about the pivoting in the beginning, it was just like, you know, pivoting allows you to do whatever the heck you want. And you know, that fun, you know, fun thing with your husband to be with him. So that was just so fun. Yeah, I love that.
It's so fun. I'll say like, it's so fun to open up a business with my husband. I think we were fortunate that we met working together. So we knew we could work together. And when we floated the idea of opening a business together, we knew that it was going to work. I know that it's not everybody's cup of tea, but for us, it was really neat to like work towards this common goal. And this truly was our first baby because it's like we were living, breathing, sleeping this business, not to the same level now because it kind of runs itself, but it's fun to have a business with your spouse because it's like, look what we did together. Yeah. And tying it back to the financial side of things, we were in a financial state that we were able to open up this business, just the two of us. We didn't take outside investors. Mm-hmm. We never even asked. We had a couple of people come to us wanting to be like silent partners and invest. And we're in a spot where we said, thanks, but no thanks. Like we want to be able to create this the way that we want it to look. We have the vision. We know how we want to execute. And we were able to do that on our own. And the name is called The Office. So when our members are playing golf, they get to say, yeah, I'm just at the office.
That is so funny.
Yeah.
But I love the power from being financially ready to do something like that. We can create this how we want to create it. And there's so much relief and weight off from that, I'm sure. But like how cool it is that you were able to have your finances together like that to do that. I think that's so awesome.
Yeah. And we got to really operate out of like inspiration rather than desperation. And like, yeah, it was tough, but so worth it, you know?
I love that. I got to go over there and visit. I'm not too far
from you. Yeah. So. Reno's fun. Reno's a blast.
I love it. The office. That's so cool. Yeah. Well, I was going to finish with one last question I like to ask most of our guests is just a learning lesson that, you know, a hard learning lesson that you've had in your business or in your life that you want to share.
Yeah. This one was tough because, you know, when somebody asks you a question and your mind just goes blank and you're like, I know nothing. I've never learned a thing in my life. As I was reflecting on this, I listen to Tony Robbins sometimes, and he says, where your focus goes, your energy flows. I'll bring that back to having that vision and having that compelling future for myself and having the self-assurance to back it. That was the biggest and still is the biggest driver because my path has not been from point A to point B. It's been like A, square, to B, and then some other different detours, but that's okay because the vision is still there. It's still the goal that I'm like working towards. And keeping that in mind, when I did make that pivot, that transition, and gave myself the permission to do it, I realized like I was making good money in that role. However, it wasn't right for me. And I didn't want to do that. And I did want to do wealth management and financial planning. So you get to do what you want and you get to love doing it. And, you know, within reason, as long as it's not harming anybody else, but like you don't have to be strapped to that job. It doesn't mean that, you know, it's going to be an easy transition into a different role. But like, as long as it's still getting you towards that vision and that compelling future, the success can look a lot of different ways. The path can look a lot of different ways. That's kind of what makes it fun, because if someone just laid it out in front of you, there'd be no surprises along the way. There'd be no learning. But yeah, I think the biggest lesson is having a compelling enough future that you're willing to kind of do whatever it takes to get there. And like I said earlier, having a strategy in place, especially with your finances, you know, that's getting you to that future, but is customized for you and your individual situation, and a strategy that you can actually execute, right? You work so hard for your money that you want it to turn around and really work hard for you. along this journey. And whether you're an entrepreneur, single mom, happily married, like wherever you are along your journey, everybody deserves to have a seat at the table when it comes to having these conversations around money in your future. Think about what future is compelling enough that you're willing to do whatever it takes to get there.
Wow. That's great. You're amazing. I was so inspired by you. I love this whole conversation. You had so many amazing things to share. So many great learning lessons too that everyone can take from this. So thank you so much for being on. Where can everyone connect with you? Like if they want to connect with you, where can they find you?
Yeah. So we have a website. It's called platinumwealth.net. Feel free to reach out to me with any and all questions you have. My email is Cosey@platinumwealth.net. If anybody is ready to like increase their financial literacy, we at Platinum Wealth Management are huge on financial literacy. We have lots of opportunities, including I teach a monthly course called Financial Foundations, completely free. It's all virtual. Send me an email if you're interested about more information around that. We do monthly coffee chats, different topics each month. Sometimes we'll cover something like annuities and what those look like. Other times we'll do a market outlook, like how's the market looking? What do we think it's going to look like? What are people saying that is, you know, maybe going to happen? And then we also have a podcast called Platinum Talks Wealth. And this is interesting. It's hosted by my boss, Jennifer Rogers Markwell. And she talks to people about their money memories and really like why they have the feelings of money that they do and where that stems from and kind of where it's taken them and how it's served and limited them. But it's really interesting to hear some of these stories. And I think that, you know, it kind of normalizes all of our experiences with money because they all look so different, but man, some of them are wild. Feel free to reach out with any and all questions. I'm more than happy to help and more than happy to kind of provide my guidance and my feedback as much as I can.
Awesome. Yeah, that podcast sounds really awesome to dig into because we were talking a little tiny bit about that today, but I think that's so cool to get everyone else's stories and hear those. So we all feel heard from our own, like, why is it so hard? So right. I love that. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being on today. Thank you.
Thank you.
So much.
It was a blast
conversation. Thank you.